From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Jockulation with your host, LB Faust. Jockulation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Jockulation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show. So since we started this episode here with, like, William Shatner, does that mean that I've got to start reading from the captain's log or something? I mean, holy fucking hell. Hey, kids, it's Friday night. It's Jockulation. I'm LP Faust, your host. You know how it goes. I'll tell you what. It's been a busy couple of weeks, man. Holy shit. Let's see. We got a slick new logo for the Jockulation program. Been doing a bunch of rebranding across social media sites. Going ahead and getting that shit all squared away. Holy fucking sheep shit, man. It has been absolutely fucking exhausting. But that's okay. I'm here. Why? Because Friday night is what we do. So go check out the branding. You can check it out over on the Twitter. You can check it out over in, you can actually check out MSP Waves. You'll see the slick new logo, all that sort of stuff. Cool things are coming. I'm in the middle of putting together a Patreon page. So we'll be going ahead and taking some of the episodes that are here. Editing them, sticking them up there, so that way people can go ahead and actually, like, listen to the episodes whenever they want to, instead of having to go ahead and come here on Friday nights as well. So there's going to be a lot of cool options, and there's other things. I've got another season of Everyday Crazy going on. So there's a lot of shit happening, a lot of things in the pipeline, cool stuff. So check this shit out, man. We've got all of this shit happening right now with pandemic dining disasters and all kinds of shit going on. Yes, Qua. And eventually, it looks like, I don't know, I'm trying to get the storefront with the merch ready to go within the next week or two. So I don't know. It might be that it's going to wind up being available over a Patreon before it gets available for people to buy with crypto. But it's just a matter of how much work and how much time I can put into stuff. So it is what it is. It's all happening. So eventually it'll get there. I've got my first three pieces pulled together. I've got probably two more in the pipeline. So we'll see how it's going to work. At any rate, so news of the week, right? We've got a bunch of pandemic, the dining disasters and shit going on right now. So, for instance, like, one of the things that kind of gets me is you can see that people are starting to sort of come back to life now, right? You need a beanie, by the way. there's some cool shit. You got to start with the shirts and then go from there. But trust me, there's a lot coming. It's just, it's me, and me right now. So with everybody starting to open stuff up, I mean, between Mario Cuomo having his, like, seventh person come out and basically say he sexually assaulted her, allegedly, and, all the other things, somehow they're managing in spring, like, right around the corner, they're managing to start opening up some of the bars and restaurants and all that shit everywhere. Army of Faust. You want to know something? I'll stop right there. The irony of the whole thing is the merch that I'm putting together, I haven't even done a single freaking Jockulation or, like, LP Faust piece of merch. This is all, like, parody stuff that's basically based off of my commercials and shit. So you'll like it when you get it, or when you get to see it, I suppose. All right, back to the show, man. Enough talk about merch and shit like that. So with springtime, like, right around the corner, they're opening up shit, like, to 35%. Mario Cuomo, or whatever the fuck his name is, over in New York State, he's got, like, seven, allegedly, women that are coming out with allegations that he either had inappropriate sexual, conduct with them, or, you know, assaulted them or whatnot. But the good news is, like, now the stores over there can open to 35% capacity, right? It's like, wow, 35% fucking capacity. Are we going to get to 50% anytime soon, do you think? I mean, just asking here.
How about new?
Probably not, but 35%, you know, you got to do something with all that empty space. Well, Peter Luger Steakhouse, and mind you, I used to live over in Manhattan. Peter Luger Steakhouse has decided to borrow Madame Tussauds fucking wax figurines or wax figures to go and, fill in all the vacancy and make it seem as though it's a happening place again. So, like, Brooklyn's famed Peter Luger Steakhouse has teamed with Madame Tussauds to have celebrity wax figures mingle with their patrons
promoting the easing of coronavirus pandemic restrictions on indoor dining in New York City. Now, Peter Luger thought this would be a fun, safe way to fill some of the seats as they continue to deal with the fucking pandemic, right? Because,
I mean, what the fuck?
Are we ever going to open up again? Just asking. So Peter Luger's been in business for 130 years so far, and they're going to keep the mannequins until Monday, and then they've got to return them to the Madame Tussauds Wax Museum because allegedly it's reopening. Do we think, hey, Carlos, do you think that Madame Tussauds is going to be open at all? I mean,
No.
I got a question. With everybody fleeing New York, is there anybody fucking left to even go over to Madame Tussauds, wax museum
How
over
about
there?
New?
I don't think so, man. I'm thinking that probably everybody's like somewhere else at this stage of the game. But, you know, think about it this way. You're sitting inside there, and now you've got like, you know, you're in basically an abandoned restaurant. That's really what it comes down to. And now you got a whole bunch of creepy-ass fucking wax figurines staring at you while you're eating the entire time. You know, it's a little bit fucking weird if you ask me, you know what I'm saying there? It's like, dude, I don't like to be stared at while I'm eating, much less by like Don Draper sitting there with an old fashioned and it's all wax and oh my God, that's fucking weird. That's just fucking weird. But whatever, man, anything we can do to make the sheep feel better and part with their cash, right? Give them a normal experience. And the funny thing is I don't know how many people actually know how Madame Tussauds actually started out. So the funny part is that I was actually writing a piece about Madame Tussauds and about the horror genre and everything because it's part of the content that's coming together for Everyday Crazy, which is the podcast that's over on Anchor right now. At any rate, so I got season two in the works, but one of the pieces that I was working on was a whole piece on the horror genre. And Madame Tussauds came up because apparently back over, you know, like right around, I don't know, the French Revolution, she was considered to be a royal sympathizer. And what winds up happening is during the Reign of Terror, she was actually arrested, her head was shaved, she was getting ready to be prepared to be executed at the guillotine. And ultimately, she was released because of some dude named Derbois and his support for Curtis and his household. Ultimately, sort of like her penance, if you will, was that she didn't get to go free, she just got to do all the death masks of all the people that got guillotined over and, you know, in front of like, the population. So she did like, Louis XV, his wife, Marie Antoinette, and then the dude who led the Reign of Terror himself, Robespierre, wound up doing his particular death mask. So ultimately, her wax figurines, or her wax figures, I should say, started out really, capturing death masks of people. And then ultimately, when she finally made her way over to London, and yes, you're right, Clay, she was actually contracted to go in and do some of the wax figures for the Phantasmagoria productions in the early times. So this is when they went and had like figures inside lanterns and, you know, candles, and they were projecting images on the walls and all that stuff. And it was novel and new, and it was like the first step towards actually getting motion pictures and things of that nature. Well, her part of it was she created an entire like wax replica of like, you know, the French Revolution, like guillotine reenactments. So you got to see all kinds of stuff. Should we all wave to the bot over there, BG Gaming 47, over on Theta TV, allegedly? Do we believe for a second that you're a real person? I don't believe it for a fucking second, but thanks anyways. We appreciate the attention. So that being said, could you imagine if Madame Tussauds, instead of going ahead and putting like Don Draper in there, just set up an entire fucking guillotine murder scene inside of Peter Luger's steakhouse? So then that way you could go ahead and truly experience what it must have been like to dine as the people lost their fucking heads. Shit, man, that would have been fucking great. But as I'm going through this stuff and looking at the new norm, I stumble across this really fucked up piece over on, of all places, YouTube, about surveillance capitalism and what's going on with surveillance capitalism and how it's working and all sorts of shit like that. And the funniest part is Google is getting savage to fuck in this about how they're manipulating people. And Facebook also found out through a program that they created that they could actually like influence people's emotions and their actions and all kinds of stuff through the virtual world, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And as I'm going through this stuff, I come across this freaking crazy ass article, right, to show you just how far tech has gone and how fucked up it's become. Apparently, some bored scientists somewhere decided, you know what would be really cool? Let's go ahead and give spinach the ability to send us a bunch of emails. And I'm kind of sitting there asking myself,
are you what the fuck?
Fuck, what? So apparently using carbon nanotubes embedded in plant leaves, signals can now be sent on an infrared camera. And that camera triggers an email alert to alert the researchers. And it's a novel demonstration of how we've overcome the plant-human communication barrier. Let's just stop there for a second. I wasn't aware that my sole purpose in life was to have meaningful and deep philosophical conversations with the fucking plants that I'm about to eat outside. But apparently now I find out that it is. And the researchers are now calling this plant nanobiotics. Now, you know, the problem with this research is, as you know, with most things that are created out there, there's this like slippery slope that happens, right? So imagine this, right? First, it's going to start out innocently, right? The spinach starts to learn how to go ahead and do its fucking emails. And it starts out innocently. You start getting spam with shitloads of random incomprehensible text messages and emails that got like a bunch of random emojis crammed betwixt all the random letters and numbers and shit, right? So that's the first part. And then the next thing you know, the spinach joins a social network and gets sucked into some MLM scheme that they won't stop shitposting about. You know what I'm talking about? And then, of course, you know, after making a couple friends and joining some fucking Facebook groups and shit like that, the spinach starts firing off posts filled with, like, you know, genocidal anti-fleshbag propaganda and starts a non-binary leafy green lives movement on the fucking social network. You know how it goes, right? It just keeps escalating from there. Then the next thing, of course, is the non-binary leafy green movement gets the Jolly Green Giant canceled for hurtful representations and mischaracterizations of, like, frozen spinach and shit like that. So as a result, you know, cookbooks everywhere featuring potentially offensive spinach recipes are banned. You know how this keeps going. And then finally, when the spinach discovers the fucking dark web, it joins an extremist spinach organization, Leafy Green Freedom Fighters, and spreads fleshbag terror propaganda. And it begins mining Bitcoin to buy murder-for-hire services against the fleshbag overlords, committing genocide against spinach everywhere. You know how it is. It's this weird, fucked-up escalation. So, like, giving gateway access to spinach in the modern tech and social media world could be a very bad idea. I'm sure Zuck would love to help get a billion more users on Facebook so he can sell all of his shit to right before deplatforming the fuck out of them, right? I mean, what could possibly go wrong? And then, why stop with just the living when you can just jump the shark of the singularity and let Microsoft host your chatbot likeness? I know what you're saying. You're asking yourself, hey, LP, I just, you know.
Hey, what the fuck?
Well, apparently now what winds up happening is Microsoft has taken this chatbot, which we'll discuss here in just a minute, and gotten a patent on this particular chatbot. And ultimately, what this patent can do is it can effectively take the likeness of a person and create a chatbot that allegedly has their personality, in effect creating immortality, right? So Microsoft's patent application reads, in aspects, social data, such as images, voice data, social media, podcasts, electronic messages, written letters, and all that crap about the specific person may be accessed. The social data may be used to create or modify a special index in the theme of a specific person's personality. So the patent specifically mentions creating a past or present entity, such as a friend or relative, an acquaintance, a celebrity, a fictional character, or historical figure. So this is pretty fucked up because ultimately what they're doing is they're saying, hey, let's go over on the fucking interwebs here and let's just scrape all of your social data that we have anyways and let's just create a likeness of you. And it'll be a chatbot that you can chat with. This is like the Black Mirror episode from hell, man. So just imagine how much more awkward. Well, first off, let's back up here. Imagine that they go and scrape this stuff up, right? Let's imagine Uncle Ron dies, right? Could you imagine how much more awkward these fucking holiday meals and like weddings are going to become? Or we can like get the kind of like we can get a kind of pervy and inappropriate Uncle Ron. He can just be like simply immortalized forever as a chatbot to join us during another pandemic holiday meal or fucking social occasion. Mind you, this is the same fucking technology which Twitter taught to be a racist asshole in less than 24 hours. I know what you're asking. You're like, what are you talking about, LP? Well, see, this fantastic chatbot that they've just gone to Kali lives long after I die, right? Exactly. That's exactly what it is. I wouldn't even have to do these anymore because we could just go ahead and take LP's chatbot and put him over there and boom, let LP's chatbot go ahead and run the show over here. This is going to be fucking great. But at any rate, this fantastic chatbot, which has been patented, is based off of their 2017 fucking technology that they thought was going to be great. Why don't we create an AI and train it and put it on Twitter so people can interact with it? What could fucking possibly go wrong? Well, in less than 24 hours, it became a racist asshole, man. So it took less than 24 hours for Twitter to corrupt an innocent AI chatbot. So Microsoft had unveiled Toy, a Twitter bot, that the company described as an experiment in conversational understanding. Yeah, it doesn't matter, Cly. This is supposed to be like the apex of technology. The shit of the shit, right? So at any rate, conversational understanding is where we were at. So you get to chat with Toy and said Microsoft, the smarter it'll get. And it's learning to engage people through casual and playful conversation. And 4chan gave it some casual and playful conversation that it never forgot. So as the conversations didn't stay very playful, pretty soon after Toy launched, people started tweeting the bot with all sorts of misogynistic, racist remarks. And Toy, being essentially a robot parrot with an internet connection, started repeating all these sentiments back to users, proving the correct whole programming adage in flaming dumpster fire in, flaming dumpster fire out. But what was really fucked up and cool was its weirder utterances that came completely unprompted. So its AI decided to start creating associations and doing some freeballing and freewheeling here, some freestyle rapping, if you will. So Toy was having an unremarkable conversation with one user. The sample tweet was, "Who new phone? Who dis?" Before it replied to the question, "Is Ricky Gervais an atheist?" by saying, "Ricky Gervais learned totalitarianism from Adolf Hitler, the inventor of atheism." But it gets better. All right, where's the other one? Oh, yeah, in the span of 15 hours, Toy referred to feminism as a cult and a cancer, as well as noting gender equality equals feminism, and I love feminism now, tweeting Bruce Jenner. The bot got similar mixed response, ranging from Caitlyn Jenner is a hero and stunning, beautiful woman to the transphobic Caitlyn Jenner isn't a real woman, and yet she won Woman of the Year. Neither of the phrases Toy had been asked to, like, freaking create. So, yeah, how could this whole chatbot AI and capturing the essence of a human being? Nah, man, this is a zero fucks Friday, Clyde. So, like, capturing the essence of the human being, what could fucking possibly go wrong, right? Could you imagine if we captured, like, Ron's essence? That would be great. Put him over in some place. Let him learn some more stuff off of Twitter's chat AI bot. We go ahead and sign him up to all the fucked up, crazy little groups that are on there and all that shit. It'll be fucking fantastic. But even better, imagine that we could capture the essence of this dead person and we could stick him in a fucking chatbot and have him sit there and piss us off during those holiday meals and special occasions. It could be like that drunk fucking pervy uncle that's always over in the corner fucking up, except not so bad, right, in some ways. But then, of course, you know, you have people who take it to the other extreme. Like who? I don't know, like this woman decided to go ahead and bring her friend over and said, "You're having a tough time. Why don't you come over and hang out over at my house? We'll go ahead and get it all sorted out. You can have some time to get your life back together and all that stuff." And then, you know, he insists on bringing out his sex doll every night to have dinner with them. So this 23-year-old is asking for advice after she let a pal move into her home who brought a realistic companion doll, which he pushes around in a wheelchair. And the obsessed lodger has been offered reduced work as he's currently unemployed. Even he sets out a place at the dinner table for his sex doll. So apparently she felt that, like, Reddit is the best place to get some advice as far as what she should do. And I'll just let you go ahead and read the fucking article in there. But you know where this is going, right? You know exactly where this is going. Some fucked up person is going to think that pervy Uncle Ron should be put inside of a sex doll in a wheelchair. We could wheel him right up to the table. And then that way, what we can do is we can go ahead and engage in some fantastic fucked up, like, Twitter conversation, dumpster fire conversation, courtesy of 4chan. So, you know, encompassed inside of this fucking sex doll here, and it'll feel just like somebody's over there. Just like you're having that warm, fuzzy, awesome family moment that you've always seen over in those Kodak photos and shit like that, right? Is that what we're talking about?
How about new?
There might be some fluids leaking out of them, Clyde. You're right. You're right. But when you stop and think about it, we could go ahead and do that. Yeah, exactly, anarchist. Freaking psycho. And you know what? I believe it was the United Arab Emirates or whatever went ahead and gave that AI citizenship, if I remember correctly. But that being said, I mean, is that the worst of it? Do we have to go ahead and put up with just that shit? Or could it potentially get worse? Well, kids, you know something? According to the, security experts, they're saying that hacked sex robots could actually murder people. So apparently the artificial intelligence researchers have consistently warned of the security risk posed by internet-connected robots, with hundreds recently calling on governments to ban weaponized robots. So hackers can hack into a robot or robotic device and have full control of the connections of the arms, the legs, and the other attachments, and in some cases, knives or welding devices. Let's just stop there for a second. Who in the fuck gives their freaking sex bot, like, welding tools, right? It's like you go over into your room, you just sit there, get the fucking thing started up, and what do? Spark up the fucking arc welder over there? Could you just, like, go ahead and blowtorch my balls or something, honey? The Gorilla Glue didn't do enough for me. You know, shit like that. At any rate, let's get back to the story here, right? Often these robots can be upwards of 200 pounds and very strong. Once a robot's hacked, the hacker has full control and can issue instructions to the robot. Once hacked, they could absolutely be used to perform physical actions for an advantageous scenario or to cause damage. This sounds serious, but the next line is what's gripping. Researchers have already discovered security flaws with Bluetooth-enabled sex toys, where hackers could control from remote locations. One example of a vulnerable butt plug was revealed last year. So, I'm just going to stop right there. You can read the rest of the story, right? But let's just think about this for a second. This is the first time I've ever heard of a fucking weaponized butt plug in my entire life. You know what I'm saying? I'm just curious, morbidly so, about what exactly constitutes a weaponized butt plug that has, like, you know, their Bluetooth-enabled, like, security compromised to the stage where, holy fuck, it's a security issue, and that weaponized butt plug can fucking kill you. I have no understanding, man. I would really love to learn where in the fuck, how the fuck do you weaponize a butt plug? At any rate, you know what? No, I don't want to know, because you know what's going to happen? My fucking Google search is going to show me how to fucking weaponize a butt plug. And the next thing you know, the NSA will be over here hauling my ass off to some re-education camp or something like that because, well, you know, terrorists, right? That's exactly how it'll go down. So I'm not even going to ask that question again. At any rate, so apparently the threat is real. I mean, could you imagine how this could completely warp and destroy the next pandemic holiday celebration in your fucking house? Just stop and think about it for a second, right? In an effort to bring back that sense of connection, that petty yet priceless family bickering at the holiday table, you decide to have, like, pervy Uncle Ron's persona downloaded into the Microsoft chatbot. So Microsoft starts downloading all the relevant social profiles, all the preferences, download history from his porn-laden browser, in an effort to craft a more authenticious Uncle Ron-like chatbot, right? But something is missing to make the experience, like, more real, more tangible, more engaging. So you go out and you do what they've been doing at all these different places. If you remember in Japan, they put a whole bunch of sex dolls over in the stands for a baseball game so that they could feel like people are there, right? And it was the people that were watching TV that said, hey, you know what? Those are sex dolls. Check out the branding over on the side there. So you decide to take, you know, pervy Uncle Ron's brain, stick it inside of one of these sex dolls. Next thing you know, it's getting all ugly and nasty and shit like that. It's loaded up with Twitter. It's making associations to the porn browser stuff that's going on there. So you're sitting there hearing all kinds of, like, Urban Dictionary terms and shit popping out all over the place as they're discussing the cavities of the turkey over on the table. Then the next thing you know, as the cream spinach comes to the table, The fucking, you know, the spinach itself that's sitting over in the salad bowl gets very upset, realizes what's going to be going on. Fucking genocide is about to happen from these fucking racist flesh bags that are over here doing this thing. So you know what we've got to do? We've got to hijack the fucking chatbot over here, take over Uncle Pervy Ron, and make shit happen. And the next thing you know, dude, all of a sudden, you're sitting there reenacting the scene from fucking Hannibal with Uncle Pervy Ron sitting there eating your fucking brain in front of everybody, right? And that, kids, is how the fucking world just falls apart in about 15 seconds, all because of fucking Microsoft and their goddamn chatbot. Fuck you, Microsoft.
Boy, you are just being completely fucking disagreeable tonight, aren't you, you freaking little shit? Jesus Christ, man. All right,
listen, Microsoft, I take it all back. Do I take it all back? I'm just asking.
How about new?
Yeah, fuck you, Microsoft. Hey, man, it's Friday night. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. No, I did not scare anybody off. You know what it is? Some people are part of the circle of intimacy, and other ones, you know, just, they're not, man. It's either for you or it's not. It's just either for you or not. And you know what? That's cool. That's not a problem, man. We're looking for the tribe, and if the tribe is who the tribe is, the tribe is who the tribe is, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to sweat it, because we're just going to have a good time tonight, man, because it's Friday. Do we want to solve the fucking problems of the world on Friday night? I mean, come on.
No.
No, we save that for Monday for Ron's show. We'll go ahead and save that for, like, Saturday night for, like, Clay's show. So don't worry about it, man. We're not here to solve the problems of the world. We're just here to go ahead and laugh at the world as it fucking burns around us, right? And speaking of laughing at the world as it burns around us, can we all agree that NFTs are just the shit tokens of this particular year? I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there, right? It is what it is, man. Holy fucking shit. You want to talk about overpriced bubbles? Wow. But what the probably is the best indicator of the fucking top being in has to be when, like, Elon Musk's girlfriend makes, like, 4 million British sterling in 20 minutes of selling art. That's right, kids. The girlfriend of American billionaire Elon Musk made about 4.3 million sterling in 20 minutes selling art, which technically doesn't exist. So 10 artworks were created between Grimes, who's, we're not going to discuss that, and her brother, and they sold within hours of going online. Now, the highest selling piece, like, ever of, is a video set to music of called The Death of the Old, which made 389,000. And Scottish crypto king Trevor Jones has become one of the market's highest rollers when he made a picture of Batman selling for 468 grand. Jesus effing Christ, man. And the irony is, I was sitting there. I have a friend. She is the she's the head of the humanities department over in Tucson, Arizona. And she and I got to talking, I guess it was about 2 years back. And I'm like, you probably want to go ahead and start looking at these things, these non-fungible tokens, and because they're looking at putting art on the blockchain. What a great way to make some fucking money. Has she bothered to go ahead and do any of that sort of stuff, huh?
How about you?
Of course not. Why would they? What? Eileen's back? Oh, I guess she is part of the circle of intimacy. Well, we'll see, right? That's probationary.
One of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us.
I'm completely in agreement with you, Clyde. Listen, I support it 100%, but yes, it is just another form of money laundering. But in some ways, so is the entire art trading group. You know, the whole art sort of like ecosystem, if you will, right? It's all about effectively laundering money from back and forth. So you've got that, and you can also tell that a top is in, not just because of the fact that you've got, like, what's-her-face from Elon Musk's girl, you've also effectively got, like, Taco Bell monetizing NFTs now. So on Sunday, Taco Bell released and sold out the first set of taco-themed NFTs on the Rarible marketplace. And it said 100% of the profits earned from this sale will be denoted to Taco Bell Foundation to empower the youth to discover and pursue their career and educational pathways. Is that, like, you know, do we believe a word of this shit?
How about new?
Yeah, the donation definitely went to the Taco Bell fucking organization. It's not going to empower anybody. But here's where you take a look and see just how fucked up and weird and how messed up the entire thing is. And how fucked up this entire NFT system is. So apparently on Monday it was reported that tokenized versions of the Banksy artwork morons sold for over $394,000 on the OpenSea NFT marketplace. Now here's where it gets really fucked up. The original piece was destroyed by cryptocurrency enthusiasts in order to create the NFT. They burned it effectively after it was sold at auction for 228 ETH. So, yeah. So let's take an original fucking piece of artwork that's considered to be a classic piece in like the modern era of art, right? Of graffiti art or whatever you want to call it. I got a great idea. Let's create an NFT, create multiple copies of it, and just fucking burn the real one. That is just
what the fuck, dude. Happened to this world?
At any rate, so that's where we stand with this. And, you know, there are people that are making shitloads of money on it. Let's see, I guess Julia's making shitloads of money on it. And from what I understand, Swoop's doing it. And let me tell you something. Jump on that fucking train and hold on with both hands. Become rich as fuck. But you know what? If you're not one of those people, and you're looking to go ahead and create some sort of like home Etsy kind of like crafty store thing, no problem, man. If you're a female, all you got to do is just like, you know, sell your vagina scented mask and charge double if it's stained with urine. That's right, kids. So apparently what winds up happening is there's a few women and men who are selling their underwear on fetish sites like Sniffer and All Things Worn. And the pandemic has opened a whole new possibility. Face masks that smell of their crotch. So they're typically the disposable masks that are kept in underwears. And if you're curious about what's going, you know, what the market is like on there, you can effectively sell certain types of things for about $250. However, according to some of the clients, she charges one of these women for a mask that's been pressed against her body for 24 hours. She charges $5, but the price doubles if she's urinated on it. And it should be noted, though, of course, the HHS says, you know, COVID-19 can remain active on many surfaces for quite long periods, and in particular can be transmitted via traces of fecal matter on used underwear or other fabrics. So in the event that you're looking for some home hobby, you know, to potentially engage in, you know, and you're kind of over that entire sourdough bread sort of a thing, what you could do is you could just go ahead instead and buy a whole bunch of face masks and just, you know, wear them right in front of your crotch and your underwear, get them all scented up with your funk, with your musk, and just go ahead and sell it online over here. I don't know, man. How many could you possibly go ahead and go through? Let's see. If you're wearing like probably like one every 3 hours or something like that, you could charge $5. Maybe make sure that you don't, wipe up after you go ahead and pee or anything like that. Boom, you can instantly double it to $10. Dude, what a cottage industry. That's got to be one of the easiest things. You know, as I'm sitting there seeing that picture, anarchist, I'm thinking of the chick with the soap, right? The soapy water. Exactly, man. You know she's probably doing this whole thing, right? Because, I mean, shit, that's easy money, right? It's not like you're degrading yourself or anything, at least. Not according to me, but I'll just go ahead and shut up right now because, hey, it's time for another break. Look how fast they come. This is great. I've got to go ahead and work on doing this a little bit more. Hey, man, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. And hey, let me tell you something, Microsoft. You better fucking work, all right? All right, now that I've had that conversation, on with the show. I got to say, you know, Clerks 2 has got to be like one of the best comedies that's out there, like ever. You know what I'm saying? Hey, it's Friday night. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. We're waiting for Snowmageddon over here. Apparently, we're going to go ahead and like be buried in feet of snow. I don't know how many. The range varies from like 1 to 3 feet. So we'll have to see what's going to wind up happening. Maybe I'll just make a gigantic snow penis outside in my backyard because, you know, everybody needs a snow dick, right? At any rate, so, yeah, in case you guys miss current events and all that, this past weekend, Oprah Winfrey did a freaking tell-all with somebody, right? Oh, my gosh. She did that with Meghan and Harry this past freaking Sunday. And, man, it's been an interesting ride. I think my favorite part in the whole thing was when they're sitting there and they're saying, Harry says something to the effect of, oh, yeah, so there was a certain senior royal that went out there and effectively said that they might have some problem with the skin tones of exactly, Gabriel, the skin color of the potential heir that's coming over here. And you get this look from Oprah Winfrey of what? And then what I love is after he's like, yeah, a certain senior royal is racist, like off the air, he looks over at Oprah Winfrey and she says, yep, there's a certain senior royal who's racist, and it's not like the Queen or Prince Philip. Or King Philip or whatever the fuck his name is. Like, I know, right? So you just had to kind of sit there and say, could it potentially be William? Is that who you're talking about?
How about new?
Well, what winds up happening, what's interesting, is they did their tell-all with Oprah Winfrey, and they refused to name names as to which senior royal allegedly voiced concerns about how dark baby Archie's skin was going to be. And then on Tuesday, right, they go ahead and they're like, hey, Prince William, do you have a family of racists? Which is the best line ever. They didn't even, like, massage it or anything like that. They just hear the reporter shouting out from across the lawn, yo, Billy, are you a bunch of racists? And William is like, dude.
No.
Deeply offended, looking back over his shoulder and is like, we're definitely not a racist family, right? And, of course, like, then Prince Chucky goes ahead and gets asked that same question, which he's got no comment for. But then on Tuesday, the Prince of Wales suddenly, for some unexpected reason, you know, because it aired on Monday night over there, felt compelled by the power of Christ to show up at an NHS vaccine pop-up clinic at Jesus House in London, where he appeared only to take photos with black healthcare workers and patients before getting the fuck out of Dodge as quick as possible. That might be just a little bit suspicious. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's certainly not compensating, right? It's just a coincidence that he visited Jesus House, and this is his first time since 2007 that he's actually showed up there, right? So anyone else got a sense that Prince Chucky might be overcompensating for, like, a dark stain of guilt somewhere? I mean, when you pop over and take a bunch of pictures with the only... Excuse me, let's try that again. When you pop over to take a bunch of pictures with only the black subjects of the kingdom's local poorhouse, like you're placing an order for white guilt at the In-N-Out Burger drive-thru, it might come across as just a slight bit disingenuous. Just a little bit. Not too much, you know what I'm saying? I mean, let's be real, Chucky, right? When was the last time you've ever been to Jesus House was like in 2007? It kind of comes across as a guilty walk of shame. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like when the organic GMO-free chick in your group, constantly bitching about your diet, goes on like a midweek binge drinking session with the group one evening and finds herself ordering McGriddles from McDonald's at like 6 a.m. in the morning in a desperate attempt to sober up before she has to show up to work in about 2 hours. I mean, you know, the body is a temple and all, except when you're hungover. It's kind of like that. Right? So, Chucky, I'm just saying, listen, try to be a little consistent with the messaging. Try to go ahead and, you know, at least allude to the fact that you're not a racist. You know, kind of like our good friend over here, the fucking Papa John's founder, right? You didn't think that John Shatner wouldn't get in, or Schnatner, whatever the fuck his name is, wasn't going to get called out, right? Apparently, in 2018, he stepped down as chairman after admitting he used the N-word during a conference call. And told One American News that the Piece of Chains board had painted him as a racist when they know he's not a racist, even though he's using the N-word per me. Quote, and then, of course, he decides he's going to go ahead and get interviewed. Sometimes it's better to just keep your fat fucking mouth shut. Just let it slide. Let everybody go ahead and know. You liked that one, did you, Gabriel? You just better keep your fucking mouth shut because you're only going to hurt yourself more. So 20 months later, he comes out. He's being interviewed. He starts getting fucking indignant when they're asking these questions, these pointed questions about using the N-word and are you a racist? He's like, hey, we've had for 3 goals for the last 20 months. You should shut the fuck up right there. Just shut up. But did Mr. Shatner shut up? Huh?
How about new?
Fuck no, because he's just got to say something. We've had 3 goals for the last 20 months to get rid of this N-word in my vocabulary and dictionary and everything else because it's just not true. figure out how they did this and get on with my life. Listen, Johnny, what the fuck do you want? Some kind of lifetime achievement award for 20 solid months of attempting not to be an openly racist piece of shit? Dude, come on, man. Okay? Or maybe some commemorative chit like they give over at Milestones and AA meetings or something like that. Brother, listen. I started to realize after I'm sitting here listening to this fucktard just go on and on about his stupid shit, right? I started to realize that between Prince Chucky and you, you're basically like one out-of-tune racist in a shitty dance number from forming a modern racist boy band. Right? That would be the perfect fucking thing. They're kind of old. They're kind of decrepit. They can't sing for shit. And they're all a bunch of racists. They come together perfectly. And I was suddenly feeling this very deep pang of skepticism. And I was incredibly disappointed about how a new Justin Trudeau blackface story coincidentally and deftly avoided the news cycle of all things, you know, during this stage of All Things Considered, right? It's possible it just might have been eclipsed. I mean, when you think about it, right, these three pillars of society should just get together and form their own racist rat pack. John Shatner and Prince Chucky could be Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin. Justin Trudeau and his shoe polish could be Sammy Davis Jr. And they could think about it. You could just go ahead and create some kind of like Blues Brothers style biography where they all meet up at like a racist rehabilitation group during shock therapy sessions. And in the end, they wind up rapping over at 8 Mile with Eminem towards the end of the movie, right? In some sort of, like, transcendence of white guilt. It would be absolutely fucking fantastic, and I think I should go ahead and put it together, and we'll see if we can go ahead and find an Academy Award out there somewhere. What do you think? Good idea? Huh?
How about new?
I mean, come on, man. If we can't touch on these kind of topics for these fucking tools, you gotta go ahead and just give it up, right? It's not satire, then.
That is true, Neil. That is 100% true. Do you know how many people keep their shitty accounting records over on spreadsheets? Like, virtually nobody uses a database. I am just saying, man. The shit that I've actually seen out there, oh, my God. It's just like, dude, come on now.
I mean, what the fuck?
Can we take our business practices just a little bit seriously here?
Well, I got it all on an Excel spreadsheet here somewhere under the couch cushions.
You know, that's how it goes. I can only imagine Neil's tax stories over here. Shit, I think the COVID is trying to grab my throat here. One second. You will need a spreadsheet for that. Anarchist, you have no idea how many times I've heard that phrase. That's what makes it funny. Why go ahead and fix the problem when you can just get a fucking box of Band-Aids and just kind of like hold it together like doing basic plumbing in your fucking basement or something like that? Oh, my God, man. Shit, the fucking wall's coming down. Quick, get a box of Band-Aids and we'll put it up. That's what the equivalent of it's like. And you know something, Neil? I'm not surprised. I can remember one time when I went out to go do like a house call or whatever to do like, you know, the initial assessment for taxes and stuff. I'm sitting there talking to the guy. He's telling me about his three different businesses, this, that, or the other. And I said to him, so what software do you use? And he looks at me, he goes, software? And just pulls out this big fucking box of receipts and puts it up there. And I'm like, you surely don't expect me to go through that, do you? And he got really insulted. And he's like, of course, because you're going to do my taxes. I'm like, bro, here's my hourly rate. That's how much I'm going to charge you for wasting my time doing that. And if this doesn't work, no problem. See you later, brother. Oh, it was worse than a fucking shoebox. It was like one of those boxes that you get from like the U-Haul place when you're going to move from one location to another. And it was just loaded to the fucking gills. And I'm like, is there any rhyme or reason to this? Like, have you separated it into entity? No, that's your job. The fuck it is. Hey, Carlos, are we going to do that for like hours and hours?
No.
Fuck no, man. He was a little upset that I didn't take his job. So at any rate, yeah, the banker box would have been an upgrade. Well, let's see. I think the vocal cords are working again. Hey, Carlos, are the vocal cords working again properly?
No.
That's all right. After I went ahead and took that slug of whiskey, I'm sure I'll start feeling a bit better over here. Hey, man, it's Friday night. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. Uh-oh. There we go. cultural attaché to the stars and all that stuff. I bet you it's COVID. Holy living shit. Look at this, man. We've got, it's like, what, just over half an hour left. Hey, you know something? Time can fly. We like that. We like that a lot. So as I was sitting here going ahead and enjoying a little bit of whiskey, I got mugged by some news. Apparently now, over in the White House, once upon a time, we used to have some standards over here, but apparently now, like, recreational use of marijuana is going to have to be overlooked in order to get the candidates that they need to come in and actually take the job. So the White House on Friday said it would begin to permit people who've used marijuana recreationally to apply for roles within the Biden administration. That explains so much. This new policy means that some people who've used pot on a, quote, limited basis will not be penalized by being denied the chance to work in the White House. So Biden officials recognize that potential applicants might have difficulty securing positions without a waiver overlooking recreational marijuana use. Let me tell you something, man. That is absolutely fantastic over here. So individuals who are granted a freaking waiver and to secure a White House position must agree not to use pot during their tenure in office. And do we think for a fucking second that they're not going to use pot? Huh? I'm just wondering out loud. But you know what I noticed? Was I noticed the waiver on drug use is limited only to pot use. So I'm guessing that means that, like, magic mushrooms and heroin are a go. Or are they just stuck with licking bufo toad venom off of the back of bufo toads, huh? I'm just asking for a friend, a concerned person. Yeah, I started to wonder what they do with all this said confiscated marijuana, assuming that they do that. Like, if they walk in and, like, catch Janet Yellen with a hooter in her, you know, in her face, are they going to just, like, take it and tell her to get out? Or are they just going to take it and say, listen, that's your first try, right? Crack party in the Oval Office with Hunter Biden. Oh, shit. Boy, that went down fast. At any rate, so I'm just kind of wondering whether or not that was the case. But then I started to remember that apparently Joe Biden adopted a German Shepherd before he entered the White House, if I remember correctly. And I'm kind of wondering if he adopted that German Shepherd from Arizona. Because, like, over in Phoenix, Arizona, apparently, along with your German Shepherd, you also get a little extra over there. You get a pre-rolled cannabis joint to go with the German Shepherd that you're adopting. Hey, Krem, maybe you should have gone ahead and adopted Murph out of this particular place because, you know, you get a little something-something because people understand. They freaking understand. So apparently an animal shelter in Phoenix, Arizona offered a unique extra for people adopting their dogs this weekend. Everyone who attended this special event and agreed to give one of the Desert Tales Shelter's animals a home was given 5 free pre-rolled cannabis joints as a freaking bonus gift. It's to help you get through those nights when the dog just won't go the fuck to sleep. You know, why are you peeing all over the floor, goddammit? Right? What a way to go ahead and make sure that you get those adoption needs. You know what I'm saying? Those quotas. At any rate. So the place is called, it was the event, it's actually called Pups and Pre-Rolls. And it's been so popular, the shelter has run it 3 times this year already. So chances are, if you keep up to date with their stuff, I'll bet you $1 million they're going to have another Pets and Pre-Rolls event. And you could go down and out of the kindness of your heart, adopt a pet and get like 5 free blunts to go along with it. So Rachel Nelson from Cannabis Store Territory Dispensary said, quote, everyone should have a best friend to smoke with. Especially one that don't bogart the joint. You know what I'm saying? Holy fucking shit. So I'm thinking, like, Biden probably picked up his pet, allegedly, from a shelter in Arizona, maybe with a side of edibles to go with the pre-rolls, you know what I'm saying? Maybe that's why we haven't seen Biden for, like, the first 100 days, because he's blazing all the pre-rolls he got complimentary with his Shepherd Major, allegedly, right? That's a very strong possibility, and I'm thinking, aside from potential senior moments and all that other stuff, hey, that's like the perfect explanation why we haven't seen fucking hide or hair of this dude. You know what I'm saying? Don't say that loud, too loud near the kids.
what, edibles or pre-rolls? You're going to have to go ahead and fill me in on what you're talking about, AMR. At any rate, man, guess what? I'm going to take another break.
Funny, the way that I came across Carne Asada was that I was kind of wandering through pandemic television. And as I'm sitting over on Amazon looking at some of the documentaries and stuff, up pops this one about, I forget what the name of the title was, but it was about a punk rock group that decided to join the Warped Tour. And the gist of it, when you listen to the trailer, the singer of Carne Asada, he's like, you know, so I'm a writer over here, and I happen to come across the guy who was running the Warped Tour at the time. And I decided, you know, that maybe what I wanted to do was actually participate in the Warped Tour. And, you know, I didn't have a punk rock band, so what I told him was I'd go ahead and write him a cover of, what is it, an article that would be featured on the cover of Rolling Stone. And he said, basically, I lied. So he had 4 weeks to go and pull together a punk band, create a whole set, and actually tour with everybody in the Vans Warped Tour. So it's a fucking hilarious thing. He winds up interviewing a whole bunch of different punk bands and stuff about what they should and shouldn't do. And he's like, you know, rule number one, don't take the in-laws. So he takes the in-laws with him. Then another guy is sitting there talking to him about what's really bad is when you mix like Valium and vodka together. Don't do that. And then you see him order a round of shots after that. Pretty damn funny. At any rate, that's some stuff that'll be featured over inside of the podcast and the Everyday Crazy podcast. So, yeah, just take a look out for that one. So as I was sitting over here listening to the Dirty Sanchez song, feeling like I probably should have featured that for like the Valentine's Day show, what should pollute my feed? But something really fantastic and awesome over here. Apparently now, a startup is offering to create salami grown from celebrity cells in a Bible cannibalism prophecy over here. So Bite Labs is offering the customers a chance to turn Jennifer Lawrence or Kanye West into a sausage. And a religious website is warning that this is the prophecy that's going to be fulfilled about cannibals actually taking over the fucking planet. So apparently, in a bizarre startup, they're offering to turn their favorite celebrity into a salami. And we covered this before where there was this particular lab where you'd be able to like swab the inside of your cheek and effectively grow meat from your own cells. The final product apparently consists of approximately 30% celebrity meat and 40% lab-grown animal meats, along with the fat and spices traditionally used to make salami. The website's proposing 4 initial celebrities that you can choose to go ahead and turn into your favorite sausage: James Franco, Jennifer Lawrence, Kanye West, and Ellen DeGeneres as potential tissue donors, and encourages people to tweet, "Eat celebrity meat to raise awareness."
I mean, what the fuck?
Right? Right? No, get out of here, Gabriel. This shit's fucking hilarious. Are you kidding me? Because here's the thing. They're selling a product they don't even fucking have. They don't even fucking have James Franco's tissue. You need James Franco, Ron? How do they even come up with this? Well, when you give somebody like shitloads of stimmy money and you tell them to stay home all day and don't go to work, I mean, you know, shit happens, man. You come up with bad ideas, right? So as a result, yeah, Gorilla Glue, hella strong. Yeah, we covered that challenge already. I can't be just like sticking to Gorilla Glue and ripping on TikTok all the time. I mean, shit, TikTok and all the stupid fucking bullshit that goes through that can in and of itself be a 2-hour show. Are we going to go ahead and do a whole 2-hour show on like freaking TikTok stuff?
How about news?
No, man, we got to sit there and we got to like spread all the pain out over a whole bunch of different things. Because if you just focus on one thing, then it's like sitting there and watching like a fucking daytime talk show television thing. It's like watching the Royals get interviewed by like fucking Oprah Winfrey over there. So tell me, how did you feel? Get the fuck out of here with that. Oh, look. Hey, everybody. We have Foddy Rebecca. I bet she's a bot. Let's all say hi. Holy fucking hell. Are there any real people actually on Theta? Because I don't believe it for a second. Hey, Carlos, have we met a single real person on Theta at all? Like,
No.
Fuck no, man. It's just a bunch of bots over there. It's one great big bot farm. But that's all right. James Franco, blood more. Oh, fucking hell. So how do they come up with it? I don't know, man. When you sit there, you got two choices, Gabriel. You could either engage in creating a brand new innovative product, like taking some tissue from your face and creating, like, you know, filet mignon. Or what you could do is you could turn around and, I don't know, do the Gorilla Glue challenge or, like, the COVID-19 challenge. I mean, next thing you know, like, if you do a Gorilla Glue challenge, you find yourself, like, in an emergency room with a red colos with a red Solo cup, like, glued to your fucking face. Whereas, like, when you do this with biological meats and shit, you could actually be a fucking millionaire, because there are some sick fucking stalkerish people out there that would actually buy this shit, like, 100%. So, you know, everybody's got their price. Like, stop and think for a second. Kanye's in the middle of a divorce. You seriously don't think Kanye needs his ego rubbed a little bit and maybe a little extra paycheck over here by going ahead and, like, I don't know, providing some, like, skin cells or perhaps some semen so that they can culture all this shit and make up some steaks? I mean, come on, man, right? You're telling me he wouldn't stoop that low? Get the fuck out of here, man. I've never seen such an opportunist in my entire life. You know, Jennifer Lawrence over here, I don't know, man. I don't know. With Ellen DeGeneres? I think so. Yeah, I would think so. James Franco, I'm not sure. I mean, he's fringe and weird enough. He'd probably fucking do it. But are you telling me that if somebody was going to cut you a check and they say, yeah, our pre-sales are showing that we've got like $400 million, and you said, I want at least 40% of that, they're not going to cut you a check? Get the fuck out of here, man. He'll go ahead and sign that for a fucking second. He will. Eat the washed-up mental skewed rappers. Dude, I'm just saying, right? I've never seen a person so ready to prostitute themselves in my entire life. So, Kanye West sausage coming to you soon. Remember, 30% celebrity meat, 40% lab-grown meats, and then you've got to sit there and say, well, that makes 70%. You telling me that 30% of this shit is the filler they use in fucking hot dogs? I'm just kind of like looking at that going,
I mean, what the fuck?
Good fucking God, man. You want to talk about Frankenfood? Jeez Louise. Didn't he divorce with Kim? You know what? He's in the process of it. So you know he's looking for another fucking paycheck, right? Of course he is. He's out there fucking chilling it, looking for the paycheck.
How dare you?
I know. How can we sit here and say such hideous things, right? Hey, man, you got to throw in the trash in order to make sure that people appreciate the good stuff. You know what I'm saying? There's a method to my madness. Hey, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. Cultural attaché of the stars. You know all that other shit. At any rate, listen, we're coming down to the last vestiges and bits of this particular show. We've covered a lot of ground this evening, but there's some important pieces that we've got to go ahead and take care of. Piece number one. Hey, Ron, you need to go ahead and take a look at the fucking Tri-Network. And what you've got to do is probably get all the different personalities over here on MSP Waves to do some of the shit that they're doing so that we can drum up some views and shit like that. Maybe get people to come over and actually get interested. Who knows? At some point, I'll go ahead and I'll talk to you about it. But more importantly, the things that's really important right now is poor Pepe Le Pew, man. That dude is being fucking demonized. The skunk over from Warner Brothers apparently now has suddenly become the symbol of rape culture. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those, oh my God, moments.
How dare you?
So at any rate, over there, apparently what winds up happening is Pepe Le Pew is now being singled out as the thing that everybody's got to go ahead and hate, because he apparently now symbolizes rape culture. I wasn't aware that there was a rape culture, but whatever. I mean, we'll just go ahead and whole culture around it. He's right now been banned. He's gone. And apparently now the cat is too sexual, too. So, you know, the cat is gone also that Pepe used to go after. And then over on the Disney Network, what have we done? We've gotten rid of shit. I can't even keep track of everything at this point. Peter Pan is gone. The Aristocats are gone. Swiss Family Robinson is gone. It's like, dude, at this rate, are you going to have anything left on the Disney Plus channel? Because holy fucking shit, man. It's like when you keep getting rid of everything, you're eventually going to get to a point where people are going to go, why again? Remind me why I'm paying like 10 bucks a month to go ahead and watch a channel that has, like, I don't know, kid shows on it or whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying? What? I guess I'll just watch Nat Geo on that, right? Whoop, can't do that. Too much violence. You know what I mean? It's this is just getting fucked up, man. This is really getting completely and totally fucked up. Dumbo's gone. Let's see what else is. I said the Aristocats. Yeah, it's just a matter of time. Oh yeah, Speedy Gonzalez. They're also getting rid of, because they're saying that Speedy Gonzalez creates all kinds of negative stereotypes around you know, certain races. And of course, they won't identify or say Mexicans. They'll just go ahead and say it in some nebulous fashion, or they'll use some euphemism, you know, like darker complected people that may or may not use the English language and perhaps might have emigrated from another country, whatever the fuck that means. But, you know, they'll go ahead and they'll put it like that, men to be kept inside. Oh, man, this is just getting out of hand. And you know what the best part is now you have women on YouTube coming over here defending men because, you know, they need ratings too. And what better way to go ahead and gin up a bunch of toxic hate trolls and shit like that than to be the betrayer of everybody, right? So you've got now a whole slew of women that are coming out, quote, in defense of men, right? This is so fucking crazy at this stage of the game. And incidentally, no, listen, in terms of like Biden and all that stuff earlier, man, I wasn't giving him any credit. He's obviously got a senior moment. The dude really, at this stage of the game, should never have been put into that seat because he doesn't have the fucking wherewithal to go ahead and actually operate. I mean, in some ways, I actually feel bad for him. You know what I'm saying? Oh, fuck, man. We're all going to die because we're dumb. You know something? Instead of Stimmy Check, Star School, maybe what they should do is just give everybody some complimentary Gorilla Glue. And, you know, like a free account on TikTok or some shit like that. There you go. If you're looking to go ahead and just kind of like calm every, you know, clean out the gene pool, there you go, man. That's the best way to do it. Let natural selection take over. What am I going to do with this fucking Gorilla Glue? And I'm wondering when the next dumbass challenge is going to come out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Gabriel's like, yeah, man, that probably would work. I still can't get the picture out of my head of the dude like, no, that bitch, she's lying. So what I'm going to do is glue a fucking red Solo cup to my face and lick it off to prove Gorilla Glue doesn't do this shit. And it's like, bro. So that picture, oh my God, it's just absolutely fucking incredibly awesome. Incredibly awesome. If I have to win by appealing to the lowest common denominator, I'll just take my toys elsewhere. Oh my God. Yeah, like Ron doesn't have any vices, right? Holy fucking shit. So what did we cover tonight? We covered an awful lot of stuff. We covered celebrity meat sticks that they're going to go ahead and create by tissue donated from celebrities, allegedly. We talked about that fantastic New York City steakhouse. You know, what is it? Peter Luger, that's currently hosting Madame Tussauds exhibits inside of there. We talked a little about surveillance capitalism, about how now the spinach is going to go ahead and send us emails and MLM schemes and eventually fucking kill us, and about how freaking Microsoft decided to bring back everybody from the dead in the form of chatbots, which of course have already been taught and like hijacked by 4chan to become racist assholes in like 24 hours or less. And then we got a woman who was living with like her fur pal who had his sex doll, his realistic sex doll, joining them at the table every night for dinner. Then we talked about how hacked sex robots can murder people, terrible shit like that. Then we covered this NFT nonsense going on right now, you know, the shit coins of the 2021 year over here, and how Elon Musk's girlfriend is raking in the cash, and so is Taco Bell. And, you know, fetish models have their own little Etsy-inspired thing where they're selling vagina-scented masks, and they charge double if they're, like, covered in their urine. And then from there we went in and talked about our good friend Prince Chucky and the new boy band he's starting with the Papa John's founder, John Schnatter, who allegedly has been, like, working on the last 20 months to clean the N-word out of his vocabulary and thinks that he deserves some sort of recognition for it. Miraculously, somehow, our good friend Justin Trudeau managed to stay out of the story. Who in the fuck knows how that one happened? I'm thinking they just probably missed him in this news cycle. And then we talked about our good friend Joe Biden, how he and his administration is starting to look past recreational marijuana use to fill key positions inside there. And if in the event of opening your heart up to like a wonderful animal from the shelter, maybe you should go over to Phoenix, Arizona and get 5 pre-rolled cannabis joints when you go ahead and adopt a puppy, because that's probably one of the greatest fucking, promos that I've seen in my life. And then what? We talked about celebrity meat, right? So it's been a busy show, man. We covered a lot of topics, a lot of ground over here. And, you know, like usual, we're going ahead and winding down, actually, right now. We're right at the end of the show. And, you know, kids, as William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage. As we strut and fret on the stage of life, always be sure to ask yourself, why watch the show when you can be the show? I want to thank everybody for coming out that was here. Thank everybody for staying that did. And you know what? Even if you stayed for a little bit, took off, look, it's much appreciated. It's not a show without you guys, so, you know, it is what it is. This is LP Faust checking out. Take care. Good night. See you next week. Hopefully, Microsoft actually works with me.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.